Support for the Exchange podcast from NHPR comes from you, our subscribers, and from
the Elm Street Group at Morgan Stanley, working with clients to create enduring financial value and a lasting impact through sustainable investing solutions. A local wealth management team with global insights. Find out more at the Elm Street Group at morganstanley.com.
And from Dartmouth Hitchcock, imagine nationally ranked healthcare in your community. With convenient locations throughout northern New England, world-class providers are closer than you think. Visit dartmouthhitchcock.org to learn more. Dartmouth Hitchcock is here.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Unprecedented uncertainty is how New Hampshire's insurance commissioner describes what's happening with the health insurance marketplace established under the Affordable Care Act. These so-called Obamacare exchanges were set up to cover Granite Staters who weren't quite poor enough to qualify for Medicaid, but still needed help affording private insurance. Now, though, huge rate hikes are predicted for these plans. The subsidies they include are in question, as is the participation of some insurers in the state's market. All in all, this could have a huge impact on the 50,000 New Hampshire residents covered through the marketplace, with unknown ripple effects on everyone else. We'll find out more today in The Exchange, including how we got to this place and what the solution might be. And of course, let's hear from you. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. We have three guests: Jeb Bradley, Republican State Senator from Wolfboro, member of the state legislature's Joint Healthcare Reform Oversight Committee. Senator Bradley, thank you for being here.
Good morning, Laura. Thank you very much.
Also with us, Lucy Hodder, Director of Health Law and Policy Programs and a professor at UNH Law. She most recently served as legal counsel and senior healthcare policy director for then-Governor Maggie Hassan. And Lucy Hodder, welcome back. Good to see you.
Thank you. Good to be here, Laura.
Also with us, Roger Savini, New Hampshire's insurance commissioner since 2003. And Commissioner Savini, that was your quote, unprecedented uncertainty. What's unprecedented about it?
Yes, and good morning, Laura, I'm glad to be here. We really have never seen a market, health insurance market, that has had so many factors impact it all at once. And I can talk about some of those factors if you'd like. For example, the carriers last year in 2016 lost 10 cents on the dollar. That doesn't happen. That just doesn't happen. Carriers are, as any business is, are not in business to lose money. So they're trying to recapture some of the losses they had last year. We've never had the turmoil that's going on in Washington, D.C., like it is now. Carriers don't operate well in uncertainty. They want some certainty to how the markets are going to function, what it is that's going to happen, and how this is all going to work. So these are the kinds of things that they think about. In addition to that, there's been no move to have the CSRs paid for or reimbursed to the carriers.
Those are the cost-sharing reductions.
Right, the cost-sharing reductions.
Money they get from the federal government.
That's right. And there's no indication. And that represents millions of dollars. I mean, these aren't just small payments. With that uncertainty, that could mean that they lose even more money. And that's going to be reflected in the pricing.
Well, and we'll spend a lot of time this hour just looking at how we got to this point and what a way out might be. But whose rates, Commissioner Savini, specifically are going to go up? How many people are we talking about here?
How many people?
Yeah.
Well, you've got about 48,000 in the individual market. You've also got maybe 42,000 in the premium assistance program individuals. It's rates that impact those folks, but primarily the people that don't get impacted by the advance payment tax credits to help them pay for
the subsidies on the Obamacare
subsidies,
exchanges.
Right, yeah. Right. The people that don't get those are those that are going to be impacted more than anybody, because again, with high premiums comes a higher subsidy. If you're not getting a subsidy, then obviously you're going to be impacted more than others.
There's been a lot of news about this, Commissioner Savini, here in other states. And one of the headlines we've seen from elsewhere is certain insurers saying in Nevada, for example, Anthem, I think it was, or Blue Cross just said, I'm out of here.
Right.
What do you know about who's participating and who isn't participating here in New Hampshire on these Obamacare marketplace exchanges?
In New Hampshire, we got certainty from Ambetter. Just recently we met with them, and this morning they put out a press release committing to the New Hampshire individual market. That's great news. Let me talk a little bit about Ambetter. Now the people have an idea that Ambetter only services the Medicaid population. That's not true. They are in the market to service the entire individual market, and anybody that goes on healthcare.gov can access Ambetter coverage.
So Ambetter's in. That's good news. You just found that out. Yeah. What about Anthem?
Anthem, we've had some positive indicators of late. They just refiled their rates. They just updated their rates yesterday. They're being reviewed. And we do have some positive indications, yet no formal commitment as yet, though.
Anybody else, Commissioner Savini?
Harvard Pilgrim has continued to say that they're looking at this. Part of it may depend on whether the CSRs, the cost-sharing reductions, are paid for or not. But they have not made as strong a commitment.
And last question that I want to bring our other guests in as well. What are some of these rates starting to look like? I know that, you know, nothing's certain, but what do you have for predictions anyway?
Well, what we've seen is what CMS has published.
The Center for Medicaid Services,
right. And they publish rates that are going to this year they published all rates filed in the individual market for certain plans. What we have seen filed is a 0.37 increase over last year's rates for Ambetter and 40% to 44% for Anthem and for Harvard. Now, keep in mind, none of those rates have been approved by the department as yet, and none of those rates have been sent up as final approved rates to CMS.
If Anthem or Harvard comes to you and says, okay, Commissioner Savini, here's my rate proposal for next year, and yeah, it's 35% or it's 40%, do you have the authority to say, too high, no way?
Yes, if they're unfairly discriminatory or if they're excessive or if they're too low. What people don't realize is that if rates are too low, carriers are putting are disadvantaging themselves and putting themselves in a position that may risk their solvency. So we look at all three of those, and we look at the assumptions made to develop those rates. In other words, did they make an assumption that CSRs are going to get paid or not, and things. Do they use their historical data with regard to what they've lost, et cetera? There are a lot of factors that are looked at when we look at rates, and we do have the authority to push back on rates, to approve it or to disapprove.
If you push back on a rate that a company really feels it needs so that it doesn't go under, might that company say, okay, Commissioner Savini, you know, you didn't approve my rate, so I'm leaving?
Sure. That's the
concern.
Absolutely. But again, we do look at rates fairly, and I don't remember any time where that's happened.
All right. Again, the number for you to join us here in the exchange. Uncertain times for health insurance is the topic. We're looking at possible rate hikes on the Obamacare insurance markets here in New Hampshire. And let's get your questions in. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. And all of you, just stepping back, and to you, I think, Lucy Hodder, why are these rates predicted, and Commissioner Savini's told us we don't know yet, but predicted to go up by so much, not just here in New Hampshire, but elsewhere?
You know, Laura, that's a great question, and I think there are a lot of reasons for it. I think the uncertainty that has been surrounding our health care and health policy is a huge factor in that, because this is risk. Insurance is risk. If the risk goes up because there's uncertainty as to what's going to happen next, and then the rates go up. So I just want to also clarify something. You made a very good point, which is our marketplace in New Hampshire actually has about 100,000 New Hampshire residents who access insurance through the marketplace. Part of that is the New Hampshire Health Protection Program, what we know as Medicaid expansion, about 42 to 43,000. And then about 53,000 are what I call the healthcare.gov. They access through the traditional marketplace. And, you know, a good portion, about 64% of those people have premium tax credits or cost-sharing reductions to support their access to coverage. In 2017, there are about 19,000 who don't, and those are the people who are really scratching their head to see, okay, how can I buy my individual policy if the rates go up? What are the choices I'm going to have to make? But the uncertainty is we have individuals all over New Hampshire and many in Coos County, et cetera, who are using these subsidies to access coverage. And with the question from the federal government as to whether they'll reimburse for those subsidies, it's caused a huge uncertainty amongst the carriers. So it's really trying to help the carriers manage the risk. There were a number of promises made about how the carriers were going to manage this risk of this new population coming on. And a lot of those promises have been broken. So the question is, how do we help support that marketplace that we really need in the state for individuals who don't otherwise have coverage?
Senator Bradley, what do you think? This is the big question. Why are these rates expected, predicted to go up so much?
You know, I would agree with what both of the other guests have said, that a lot of uncertainty coming from Washington. That's certainly a big part of it. the losses that the insurance companies have experienced over the last couple of years, the fact that the individual mandate is not being enforced in Washington. And I think that this calls for action by Congress to make the kind of changes that are necessary to make our healthcare system work and function as a competitive marketplace in a way that insurance is affordable to people. And I think that we've seen gridlock in Washington. Fortunately, people like Lucy, myself, and Roger have worked together on healthcare issues in New Hampshire and brought a bipartisan flavor to those discussions. We haven't always agreed, but we've been able to work it out. And I think our successful Medicaid expansion is indicative of that. And I think Washington needs a good dose of practical common sense. I mean, and, you know, you're seeing that uncertainty play out. Now, it is, in the overall scheme of things, a somewhat small universe of about 20,000 people that don't get subsidies that are going to see these 40 to 45% increase. But if you happen to be one of them, this is a precipitous increase, and that's certainly not what was envisioned under the Affordable Care Act. Insurance has become unaffordable.
How does, Senator Bradley, the individual mandate not being enforced by Washington, as you said, how does that affect the increase in rates?
Well, so if the individual mandate's not enforced, it means that younger people in particular who are healthy, who feel invincible, are not getting any kind of penalty. Okay, and so in order for insurance to work, the costs of those who are using a lot of health care, who are ill, has to be subsidized by a broader, healthier population.
So you need a big pool
of people. So if healthy
people
are not in the pool, that's a problem. And so, you know, I think we're seeing that Obamacare, you know, the Affordable Care Act is problematic. It needs to be fixed. It needs to be reformed. We have to have a healthcare system that's functioning. And Congress hasn't stepped up to the plate to make those kind of changes that are necessary.
Another factor that I've often heard blamed for the cost, and Lucy, I'll turn to you first, is just basically the sudden cost of caring for people who were longtime uninsured, people who came to the system in pretty poor health, given that they couldn't afford care until now. So I wonder how much that's a factor in, you know, the losses that Commissioner Savini told us about and the rate hikes that are predicted.
Well, I think certainly it is to some extent. I think the goal was to get people coverage so they could get to the doctor, find out what the concerns are that hadn't been addressed for a long time, make sure that those issues were not borne by an irrational market. So remember, these are people that may not have had coverage and were going to the doctor or the emergency room or the hospitals anyway and getting uncompensated care. So, yeah, there is a certain amount of need to get control of and manage the care for these individuals. I think it's also important to remember that the individual, this is a group of individuals, and they're being treated as one risk pool. Separately, the carriers and the insurance companies cover all of us who work and are in groups, and they're doing pretty well on that market. So, you know, remember, in past years, the insurance department has reported on it. They're doing pretty well in the group market in New Hampshire. It's a healthy market. We do still have a cost problem. I've said this before. You know, we have one of the biggest drivers of cost is the unit costs of the care. So people are accessing care. Many people have unaddressed needs. There's substance use, mental health issues, care that people need. And that does drive up the cost as well. But we also have to now tackle how are we going to make it a more valuable system in New Hampshire?
Well, and that's a broader point that we should hit on. And Commissioner Savini, you know, you talked about the subsidies for insurance companies. We've all talked about the subsidies for individuals. How much do those subsidies help keep the actual cost of care up? The idea being if there were no subsidies, you know, providers would have to find a way to lower their prices. Otherwise, their products could just be too expensive.
How do the subsidies help keep the cost of care up?
Right, because people aren't feeling the 100%.
Right,
pain
you know,
of
certainly
it.
Cost sharing is a good idea. It's not going to happen the same way across the entire market. It does happen, as Lucy was mentioning, in the small group market. It works very well. There are incentives for people to, but I think it has to. What we have to do. Here in New Hampshire and across the country, is to look at the cost of care. What are the drivers? Are these subsidies, in fact, drivers, or are they not? What is it that's keeping those unit costs that Lucy talked about continuing to rise? How does the opioid crisis impact this? Remember also that the law now mandates mental health parity. That's a good thing because we take care of those that have serious mental health problems. But it certainly is a cost to the system. And Senator Bradley was absolutely right when he talked about the fact that if you don't enforce the individual mandate, then you don't spread the risk. And if you don't spread the risk, then it's not insurance. Insurance is about spreading the risk.
Senator Bradley, what do you think about that question? And we always talk about insurance on these programs, but are we sort of ignoring this underlying factor that is driving insurance rates, and that's the cost of care?
And I think one of the failures of Obamacare is it didn't address costs. I think some of the insurance reforms that we had long had in New Hampshire that are now part of the Affordable Care Act, coverage for pre-existing conditions, lifetime limits, keeping children on who are 26 years old, the fact that you were guaranteed an opportunity to buy insurance, those were all good reforms that came out of Obamacare. And as I said, things that New Hampshire had for a long time. But the essential benefits are maybe too much for some people to be able to afford each and every one of them.
Essential benefits meaning like, you know, everybody has to have coverage.
Everybody has to have coverage across a broad spectrum of issues. Now, there's merit to them, but there are costs to them. And so not allowing catastrophic types of insurance policies, I think these are things that we should have looked at to drive down costs. Things like tort reform weren't talked about. Things like a broader market across state lines weren't part of Obamacare. So some of the reforms that might have driven down costs were never part of the law. And that's what I hope that if Congress can ever get out of its own way, you know, you're going to start to see things that will drive down the cost of health care. That being said, health care is expensive. Rising drug costs have proven to be a problem. Inflation in health care continues to outstrip the inflation rate generally. These are things that we have to confront as a nation.
Well, a lot more to pick up on after a short break. And we'll check in with New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu, who wrote a letter to the Trump administration yesterday about this. So we'll hear about that. And we'll take your questions and comments, 1-800-892-6477. Keep it right here.
This week on the 10-Minute Writer's Workshop, author Michael Cunningham has advice we can all take to heart, no matter what you do.
You have to figure out when it's time to just let it go, when this is all you can do. Over the years, I have developed a slightly better sense of when I've reached that point, when in rewriting, I'm not making it better, but I'm just making it different.
Subscribe to the podcast for sage advice or find some at nhpr.org/10mww.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoi. Today, uncertain times for health insurance nationally and here in the Granite State. Let's hear from you, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. We have three guests in studio talking about this. And joining us now on the line is New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu. Governor Sununu, thank you for your time. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Laura. Great to be here.
Well, you wrote a letter to the president just yesterday about instability in the insurance markets. What was your main message to the president, Governor Sununu?
Well, I think the main message was, look, we are fighting hard over the past couple weeks. We knew our health care exchange, as the insurance commissioner indicated a couple weeks ago, was really on the brink. We've been, you know, working with the carriers, working with the system, trying to find flexibilities. Our message to the administration was pretty clear. We're going to fight hard to make sure that we don't fall into the same peril, if you will, as other healthcare exchanges across this country. We're fighting hard for it. We still need some help from Washington, whether it be CSRs. I've been one of the most outspoken governors in the country for trying to fight for those CSRs just to stay within our exchange system, and some other flexibilities to make it work. So it was kind of a message that says, don't give up on us because we're not giving up on ourselves. We're fighting hard. And again, the announcement today from Ambetter, I think, is proof of some great efforts by the entire administration that we're working to make sure we don't have a system that collapses on.
So the CSRs, and I know you've talked a lot about those, Governor Sununu, these are the cost sharing reductions, and Commissioner Savini described them earlier. The president has called these a bailout for insurers. Do you agree with that?
They are. No, there's no doubt. It's a subsidy to keep them going. Please remember, the entire Obamacare system is broken. There's just no doubt about that. When you're looking at 45% increases on the healthcare exchange, when you're looking at the fact that they don't enforce the individual mandate, all these other pieces, it doesn't work. It's not a free market. What we're doing today is making sure that fighting to make sure that our healthcare exchange, which takes care of nearly 100,000 people, does not fall apart. These people aren't left without any options, and it bridges us basically through 2018. In that time period, we have to find a long-term solution. Washington has to, frankly, get off their butts and do their job and get something done for the American people. I mean, Congress as a whole has completely failed on this topic, and it's time for them to stand up and do what's right and start providing a foundation that we can look towards long term, and instead of taking this thing piecemeal every 2 years and being on the verge of collapse every 2 years. So again, this is a bridge to provide long term until we get to some long term stability. But the CSRs are essentially a bailout in that time frame to provide that stability we need for this bridge.
In terms of getting flexibility, which you mentioned a moment ago, Governor Sununu, to craft a market that works well for New Hampshire, what are you hoping to do there?
Complete flexibility to the states. That's my message to Washington. The idea that Washington insists on staying in the healthcare business, if you will. Washington, you know, you have kind of traditional Medicaid, then you have Obamacare put on top of that. Obamacare just hasn't worked. They need to get out of that business. My message to them is a true block grant back to the states, true flexibility to the states, and let each of the individual states design a true market that works with market dynamics that can help create incentives and create systems that can control costs. Let's keep the costs down so then the insurance rates behave appropriately. There is no free market in healthcare. None. Absolutely none. And so therefore, you can never expect the dynamics of a free market to work. You can never expect costs to go down or competition to come in. As Senator Bradley indicated, it's consistently exceeding inflation every single year, you know, far outpacing inflation every year. Why is that? Why does the Tylenol still cost $4? When are we going to start talking about the cost of the liver transplant? You can only really start doing that when you have free market dynamics, and you can best do that when you allow the states, who've had great success with other programs, you can have the states truly implement their own health care system.
In other states that have gotten waivers that help them craft solutions that fit their own states, those states have put up some seed money, as it's called, to create a reinsurance pool to help stabilize some of what we're talking about. Commissioner Savini had a proposal to do so. You didn't like it, Governor Sununu. How come?
Because it's taxes. Right, when you have 45% increases next year, and then the solution brought is going to be to tax people on top of that, that isn't right. Now, I give Commissioner Savini a lot of credit. He's putting ideas on the table. He's coming to the table with real ideas. It's a lot more than I can say for other folks, to be honest. But again, he brought kind of awareness to what the situation was, put an idea on the table. We worked with it a little bit. We said, let's go after the waivers without taxing the people of New Hampshire exorbitantly. We're not going to do that. And so I've instructed both he and Commissioner Myers to go forth, work with the federal administration, try to get these waivers. We're going to fight for the CSRs. We're going to fight for more flexibility. These are the ideas that can help craft a better market, a true market for the state of New Hampshire. And in doing so, I think it gives confidence to the Ambetters and hopefully the Anthems and the Harvards to stay in the market, to not let the market collapse as we saw in other states. And so, again, we can have this bridge until we get to the long-term solution. And there has to be a long-term solution.
Was it a direct tax, Governor Sununu, or was it an assessment on health insurance companies?
Potato, potato. I mean, come on. It's a tax. It is a tax straight on top of all of us, frankly, who are paying insurance premiums in this state. It was an absolute tax. Assessment's a nice word for it, but, you know.
On the insurance companies, though, right? Like not on me or Lucy or Senator Bradley.
Oh, no. You would have to pay. No, you would absolutely have to pay. That assessment to the insurers would then get downshifted in one form or another to the ratepayers. So that's a tax on your premiums.
Alaska had an interesting experiment, Governor Sununu. They created these assessments to put some seed money in to encourage the feds to chip in as well. But their assessment was not just on health insurers, but on, you know, all sorts of insurers, you know, home insurers and casualty insurers. I mean, is that an idea that might work, where you broaden the pool of insurers who kick in?
So the idea of broadening the pool of people we're going to impose the tax on, no, that doesn't work for me. You know, that doesn't work. Look, it's a broken system. You can't just keep trying to tax your way through it, throw, you know, more good money after bad. That is not a solution. At some point, you have to say 45% increases, enough is enough. Work with the insurers, try to find other solutions other than just throwing money at it. That's what management's about. That's what's working with these carriers. And I give the carriers a lot of credit. The folks at Anthem, Ambetter, and Harvard have all come to the table really working with us, putting ideas down, you know, trying to figure out a way to get this done. Now, Ambetter is now in. That's wonderful. Hopefully the other two carriers will stay in. The key is that the important message here is over the last 2 weeks, we went from on the brink of collapse to a stabilized system, and maybe now even a system, depending on what happens in the next couple of weeks, with true competition that remains in it. That's a huge, huge win for New Hampshire, as opposed to these other states we've talked about across the country. They've lost their exchanges. They don't have anything left, or maybe even just one carrier where there's no competition, and the individuals are left with no choice. No choice is never a good idea. So to be able to fight for this, to be able to claim, I think to be able to say that, look, our administration is working. It's working well. A lot of credit to Jeff Bradley, a lot of credit to Commissioner Savini, and a lot of credit, frankly, to Lucy. I know Lucy's in studio too. She's been a big part of this in terms of working with all these folks, throwing politics aside, working with the folks to find better solutions.
What sort of leverage do you have, Governor Sununu, to convince Anthem and Harvard to stay?
A couple things. I think what they want to see is the confidence that we have in our own market, the confidence that we have in fighting for that kind of flexibility to truly create a market. They want the market to work. They want more of a free market system, a more of a competitive market. They want to know there's going to be an administration that creates that market to drive down costs so they can be more competitive. It kind of goes back to basic business dynamics, right? You know, you want to be here. They don't want to leave. They don't want to have to do 45% increases. They want to know the governor's going to step up and fight for the CSRs, which can help control some of those costs, and fight for a better system that creates more of a free market. That gives them confidence, I think, to stay in and be part of the solution long term, so that if and when we do get a long-term solution. They're here. They're still here for the long run. They don't have to re-enter the market or come back in. So I think with them feeling like there's some light at the end of this tunnel, the bridge is actually going somewhere, that gives them the confidence to stay in and work with an administration that is going to work with them.
Okay, Governor Sununu, we know your time's limited. We really appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, guys.
That's New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu. The number for you to join us on the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. You can respond on Facebook or Twitter, NHPR Exchange. Commissioner Savini, before we go to our listeners, I did want to ask you about your idea for this reinsurance pool. The governor told us he didn't like it. Senator Bradley didn't like it either. Can you just describe how this would have worked?
The proposal that we had brought forth would have put an assessment on the rest of the health insurance market, which includes the small group, large group, self-insured, et cetera, at, I believe it was $5.25 per member per month. And this would have provided $32 million as the seed money to establish the reinsurance mechanism. The burden on the other health carriers, the senator and the governor are right, there would have been a burden of about 1% increase in their premiums. So it would have increased other premiums. And then we would have applied to the federal government for what's called a 1332 waiver. It's a waiver that's allowed under Obamacare, where we could have accessed the savings that reinsurance mechanism would have generated, because those savings would, the direct impact would have been to reduce premiums or reduce the level of increase from 40% down to, let's say, 30% or something like that. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me. And we could have then gone to the federal government and recaptured those savings to the federal government because of the lower tax credits that they would have had to pay, and use those to further fund the reinsurance mechanism.
Wow, that's really confusing. And I appreciate that you're doing your best to walk us through it. So basically, it was assessing a fee on the insurance companies. That shows the feds that we've got some skin in the game. Then we go to them and say, hey, we've done this. Can you give us a little more money to help us out? And they say, sure. I mean, is that an oversimplification?
The more money would have been a specified amount. It would have been the savings that were projected because of the reinsurance mechanism ceding certain claims to that mechanism that carriers pay.
And Senator Bradley, you didn't like this either. How come?
Well, you were going to raise costs on every employer in the state that provides insurance in the small group market and some of the other markets. And so while 1% sounds reasonable in some regard, our health insurance costs in New Hampshire are already high. Employers are struggling to pay those health insurance costs. They've gone up in the last few years because of the uncertainty dealing with Obamacare. And I also had a problem that the projected 40% rate increase in the individual market was only going to be a 35% rate increase. I don't see a 35% rate increase as being successful. I think it's the opposite. So like the governor, I credit Commissioner Savini with, you know, putting an idea on the table. An assessment, had it lowered the projected rate increase to, say, 10%, might have been something I would have considered. But at the way it was, you know, potentially going to happen, again, a 35% rate increase to me wasn't any kind of definition of success.
Lots of people want to jump into our conversation, and you can join us at 1-800-892-6477. Let's go to Andrew in Keene. Hi, Andrew. Go ahead. You're on the exchange. Welcome.
Hi. I've been hearing for months now, both on the national stage as well as today, this whole idea about sharing the insurance pool across state lines and that somehow it's going to bring down costs. What I'm wondering, though, is, don't different states have different rules they have to follow? And if so, if we put this into place, wouldn't New Hampshire people who buy into, say, I don't know, California or New York or whatever, also have to follow their rules?
It's a good question, Andrew, and one I've wondered about myself. Lucy, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I'll jump in and then defer to the Commissioner of Insurance, who is well-versed in this. And I think Andrew makes a really good point. Yes is the answer to your question. You're right, which is if we allow across state lines, then the question is, how much do we give up of what the governor so eloquently stated, which is New Hampshire tries to solve its problems its own bipartisan way. We have a wonderful tradition of trying to figure things out for our 1.3 million people in our way. If you have purchasing across state lines, you could have a New Hampshire citizen purchasing a plan in Florida and have no recourse if the plan doesn't provide what they expect, doesn't have the providers who they need to access, et cetera. So instead of our having the ability to say to our commissioner and our governor, hey, if the rates are going up that high, we want you to look at them carefully. We want you to really make sure they are not just shifting, you know, their losses to this population as opposed to others. We want to really find out whether they're driving their care management and providing the product that we expect when we buy the product. We want to make sure we have carriers in New Hampshire who are being fair. And we have. We have a great working relationship with our carriers in many ways, but we want to be able to rely on our commissioner of insurance to oversee the products that we're getting so that they meet our expectations. And that could be a real risk if we allow purchase across state lines, unless there's some way that it works out that we still have security.
It's often cited as a way to lower costs, Commissioner Savini, but then the concerns that Lucy raises come up. So I wonder what you think.
Couple of things. I certainly think it could work if it were done under a mechanism that's allowed that works really well with life insurance, which is called an interstate compact. If we were to enter into a compact with, let's just use a couple of Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, for example.
Well, Massachusetts has so many health providers
down
there.
And Massachusetts. And that compact and the state legislature agreed to enter into this compact, then those policies and all the networks would be reviewed and all agreed to by all states, and the state insurance department could, like it does with life insurance, retain its regulatory authority. So there are ways that this sort of thing could be thoughtfully put together. But again, I think the most important word here is thoughtfully put together, and not simply say, well, you can buy from Oklahoma, and then you got to go to an Oklahoma doctor.
Well, thank you for the call, Andrew. And Senator Bradley, yeah.
If I can jump in on this, look, I think we have seen rising healthcare costs for a long, long time. This is a reform that I think we ought to try. I mean, just watch TV at night and you see Geico, Progressive, State Farm selling auto insurance, beating each other up.
Nationwide,
trying to get
sure.
Customers at lower rates. And so I don't disagree with Commissioner Savini or anybody else that thinks that we need to have state protections, but it works in auto insurance. It can work in health insurance. And we need these kind of reforms to lower costs. This is the problem with health insurance. And until we do some of the things like, cross-state purchase or tort reform that actually drive down the cost of healthcare, we're going to continue to have these debates. And as a nation, it just makes it tougher to have health insurance for all of us that are affordable. And that's a problem.
Here's an email from Kevin that just came in. Anthem's profits soared 44% to $1 billion in the first quarter, but it wouldn't rule out reducing its individual product offerings. Kevin says, so why are they trying to increase rates, especially with the cost of running an insurance company going down due to automation, artificial intelligence? Commissioner Savini, we do hear from listeners that, hey, why are they charging us so much when they're making so much profits? Couldn't they lower their own profits and their own executive compensation and help us out a little bit?
Well, you know, the legislature has never given us authority to oversee or regulate what CEOs of carriers in any line of insurance make or can earn. We look at the products as they're filed with us, and we judge them based on their merits and not on what the CEO is earning.
Okay. Kevin, thank you for the email. We'll take a lot more of your questions and comments in just a moment. You can join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Facebook or Twitter, NHPR Exchange. We'll be right back. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today, with premiums predicted to skyrocket on the ACA exchanges, state officials are debating how best to proceed. That's what we're looking at this hour in The Exchange, and we'd love to hear from you. The number 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. One more time, that number, 1-800-892-6477. And Lucy Hodder, I wanted to also get your thoughts on this email we got from Kevin, who says, hey, why is Anthem trying to increase rates so much when they made, you know, huge profits last year?
You know, I think that's a good question, and I think it goes to a number of questions that consumers could ask about their own insurance and what they're purchasing, which is just how is this all working that the consumer's the last to know and the one who probably suffers the most from the out-of-pocket costs associated with what they're purchasing and where they're going. And I think that begs the question of let's have a little bit more transparency so that, you know, what the governor referenced, which is the competition, can thrive a little bit better, give consumers access to the costs and the charges that are going to actually pay, understand better this issue of insurance companies who can make profit off of some lines of business and then cut others, understand better what their skin in the game will get them. And I think that's really important. I think we've gotten to a place where we use it's complicated as a reason to cloud the transparency with the consumers who we're trying to help the most here. And I think that's a really important goal for us. And one, if we stopped all of the uncertainty and all of the politics and the machinations we could focus on how do we make our markets more accessible? How do we let consumers know what they're purchasing? Let them use their choices to actually make our system work better for them. So it would be nice to get to a point where we could focus on that as opposed to some of the other shifts and uncertainties in the market.
Well, we did ask Anthem to participate, and they said they didn't have anybody available this morning. So I just want to put that out there as we talk about Anthem. Here's another email from Chris in Plymouth who says, I'm wondering if there are any impacts on group rates. Thank you, Chris, for the email. And Commissioner Savini, first of all, you're just going to have to tell us like what group rates are versus what we're talking about. I have wondered about the ripple effects on everybody in the state of this, on this, not just the people who are under the ACA marketplaces.
Okay. Thanks, Laura. Let me start by explaining just very briefly markets. You've got the individual market, then you've got the individual market on exchange, off exchange. You've got the small group market under 50. You've got the large group market over 50.
People, not age.
Right. I'm sorry. Thank you. Yes. And you've also got the self-funded, self-insured market where the employer, like the state of New Hampshire, for example, chooses to fund its own claims and may buy some coverage that if it goes over a certain amount of money. And what's the impact going to be on all of these markets? Again, these markets operate independently. And a large part of what impacts whatever market you're talking about, if we're talking about the small group, it doesn't get directly impacted by the rates filed on the individual market. But a failure of the individual market could impact the small group market because it could suddenly find some sort of shift into that small group market. It could find employers that would then feel compelled to have to provide coverage and could have the function of increasing rates. What's going to control all of this much better is something that Lucy said earlier. We've got to address cost of care. If we don't do that, it especially in this free market, you know, it's a free market. So if CEOs earn a lot of money, it's a free market. But if we don't control what the cost of care is, you're still going to be paying exorbitant premiums, regardless of what market you're in.
Well, talk about ripple effects, too, Senator Bradley, because some folks get their insurance, you know, as individuals. Some folks get it through Medicare. Some folks get it through Medicaid or Medicaid expansion. Some people get it from their employers. In fact, a lot of people get it from their employers. So what ripple effects do you worry about if these Obamacare exchanges collapse?
Well, half of the health care in this country is provided for by the government already, whether it's Medicare, Medicaid, Medicaid expansion, or the VA system.
That's a lot. Half of the people.
That is a lot. So I think one of the points that Lucy's made is vitally important. And it's not so much It's a transparency of insurance and better options and knowing how to be able to purchase insurance, but it's also transparency of costs. And anybody that's looked at a hospital bill or a doctor's bill oftentimes just can't understand.
It's astounding how much certain procedures cost that take 5 minutes.
How the costs got there, and then they can't understand it. And so you have a very difficult time comparing costs from facility to facility to facility. And that's something that Roger's department, Tyler Brennan in particular, has worked on to try to give consumers more options, because everything else we buy in life, we analyze cost, quality, value, and then we make a decision. But in healthcare, it becomes different. Now, granted, an emergency situation is an emergency, but not all healthcare costs are emergency. And so being able to compare what you're going to pay, and look, let's face it, under Obamacare, deductibles and copays have gone through the roof. And so there is more skin in the game by an awful lot of people. But you need that information to be able to make wise consumer-driven choices.
Well, but given restrictions on coverage, Senator Bradley, sometimes you may say, gee, Dr. A charges this much and Dr. B charges that much, but my insurance only covers Dr. A. So, you know, the choices that you describe are a little stickier than...
It does become, you know, if you're in network, if you're out of network, and certainly, you know, that becomes an issue. You can't go from, you know, Marketplace to Hannaford's maybe quite as easily. But you certainly can look at the facilities that are in your network for a particular insurance company and compare and contrast those prices, because I think that will drive more consumer choices in healthcare. And I think this is something that for almost three quarters of a century we've gotten away from, as, you know, part of the problem is somebody else has been paying for our healthcare. And so we're somewhat insulated from those costs. And as a result, it becomes, you know, confusing and unapproachable for an awful lot of people. I think changing that by better transparency in the costs is something that would be very helpful.
Commissioner Savini?
I wanted to follow on what Senator Bradley said. He's absolutely right. At the Insurance Department, we've developed a way to look at costs, and I would put a plug in right now for the health cost website that's contained in our website, and it compares and contrasts about 100 different procedures throughout the state of New Hampshire with bundled costs. So as Senator Bradley said, consumers can have a choice. Some of that choice may be that they have to travel an extra 20 miles to get to a provider. But if they've got a $5,000 deductible, that may be very meaningful. So I would urge consumers to take a look at that website.
Do you want to jump in, Lucy, on this idea of ripple effects? That's the concern. You know, people may be listening going, okay, I got my insurance through my employer. I'm good, right? Or is this going to affect me?
Yeah, I think there will be a ripple effect, and there always is, because one, you know, you affect one market and it impacts the others. I do think that if you look at what's happening for the group market, I think we're slowly seeing some of the employers, say vocally to their carrier and to their providers, look, we need to get better value for what we're paying. And they're starting to ask for more transparency, which is critical. Individuals can't do it alone. And employers need to step up and say, okay, really, let's help support the providers and the carriers who are working to create better value. And there's a lot of that going on in the state. There's a lot of real effort at payment reform to try and take some of that cost out of the system. But somebody's got to be asking for it, and somebody's got to be demanding it, or it will not happen on its own, because our system is so has developed in a way that the consumer doesn't really have much of a say. So I do think it's really important for consumers to be vigilant, employers to be vigilant, to continue to try and ask, where are we changing to get value so that we're still getting quality, but trying to get it more efficiently for ourselves. So I think that's a really important next step.
Here's an email from Allison Grantham, who says, my small nonprofit provides health insurance through the shop marketplace. I have heard this is going away. Can you tell me what is happening with the shop? Alice, thank you for the email. And Commissioner Savini, do you know?
Yes, ultimately the shop will go away. It really wasn't taken advantage of very much. And Obamacare has it going away, so yes.
That was the small business, or small organization.
Small group market where they could get certain subsidies if they participated and met the criteria that were outlined within it.
So what do we do for the small employers? I mean, I have a question for Commissioner Savini. There were a couple suggestions actually sort of floated around in Washington that were buried with some not-so-great suggestions. But, you know, can small employers band together? How can we help the small employers in New Hampshire access coverage that is not causing so much of the compensation to be put into the benefits as opposed to into the dollars going into the employees' pockets?
Commissioner Savini?
You know, you certainly could, but I think you've got to be careful when you let banding together happen so that there isn't what the concept of adverse selection. Or
what does that mean?
It means that suddenly the small employers don't let this other employer in because they've got a lot of sick people. If there's that sort of dynamic that happens, then you end up with a pool that doesn't spread the risk. You end up with discrimination by employers, and unless the law is very carefully crafted, you could end up in a worse place for many individuals. You know, all actions do and have reactions, and I think we need to be really careful. I don't say that we shouldn't address it, but I think that it should be addressed very, very thoughtfully. The legislature should be very deeply involved in making those decisions after many public hearings. But yes, I do agree that it needs to be addressed.
Well, Senator Bradley, speaking of ripple effects, I did want to ask you about New Hampshire's Medicaid expansion, because New Hampshire did it a little differently from what I understand. People get expanded Medicaid, but they get their coverage on these Obamacare markets. So how might huge rate hikes in the marketplaces under the Affordable Care Act affect New Hampshire's Medicaid expansion?
Well, certainly, you know, with the finance of it, where it's 94% paid by federal funds, I mean, that's where the cost drivers will be. The state share, the 6%, something that we're going to have to worry about as we look to reauthorization. I think that the debate that we should be having about Medicaid expansion is how do we do what New Hampshire wants to be done with Washington still being, even under the Trump administration, somewhat structured. And so I think we need to devise a plan that will control the costs of the Medicaid expansion in a way that wasn't allowed under the Obama administration, and then present that to Washington if they're not going to make changes to the Affordable Care Act vis-a-vis Medicaid. And I think that that's what we're going to spend an awful lot of time this fall and next year trying to devise something that works so that we can make sure that the 50,000 people who've gotten health insurance continue to have access to it, but that we can do it in a more affordable way, in a way that we manage and not under all of the strictest of guidelines from Washington.
So Medicaid expansion right now, 94% paid by the federal government. Given that these folks are covered under, again, through the marketplaces, if some of these marketplace carriers hike their rates, does the federal government all of a sudden have to kick in a whole bunch more money?
Well, if the costs of it go up, yes. I mean, that would be the case. But, you know, the Medicaid expansion is somewhat insulated from that, as opposed to the individual market because of the fact that who's paying.
Okay. Did you want to jump in, Lucy or Commissioner Savini, ripple effects, repercussions on the Medicaid expansion program? Lucy?
You know, I think we have had, and Senator Bradley has been an incredible leader in trying to create a solution that works in New Hampshire. It's never easy. It's not going to be easy. I think the governor is absolutely in with both feet trying to figure out how to prevent a ripple effect on the population that we cover through the New Hampshire Health Protection Program. I think the question's going to be, how do we make sure that the population of the newly insured continues to be covered because we wanted to cover them. We've done it well. How do we make sure it's done in a way that doesn't impact other markets? I think New Hampshire has a couple great options here. We're looking at how to secure a promise from the federal government that is, you know, set in stone on its promise to support the programs that we have invested in, and then try and make them the work in New Hampshire. So I think we're at a real turning point right here. If we can't get the carriers to stay in, and it the ripple effect is on our expansion population as well, then we start to see the crumble and the spiral that we were trying to avoid. So I think everyone around the table is correct that now's the time to try and figure out how to keep the markets going in a way that works and not have the ripple effect impact the New Hampshire Health Protection Program that was a public-private partnership, and then go back to the days where we have people accessing care in an uncompensated, irrational way.
Showing up at the emergency room and they get free care, but then those costs get passed on to everybody else. And that's what Medicaid expansion is said to have really helped with.
Yes.
Commissioner Savini, last questions for you. So dates and deadlines. When do New Hampshire insurers have to post their rates for next year?
Their rates are due to us by the end of the day today, as a matter of fact. And we then go into the mode of assessing those rates and looking at what additional questions we may need in order to be able to approve or disapprove them. All approved rates will then be uploaded beginning next week and culminating on the 16th of August to the federal government. That's the deadline that we've been given. We are looking to see if there could be flexibility in that deadline to allow carriers to, let's just say that the CSRs are suddenly funded. Do they want to make adjustments to their rates? So we're continuing to work very closely, and I think the governor mentioned it, with the federal government to try to see if they can give us some latitude, if it's an extra day or two or three or whatever it is, if rates are suddenly going to be reduced a bit.
Because it's hard for them to determine what their rates will be if they don't know about these cost-sharing assistance from the government.
Exactly, exactly. Then they have to assume, and we've said they can, that they're not going to be paid.
All right. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lucy.
Well, I just want to add one thing and just put a little bit of a human touch on this. I mean, I do think that some of our counties that are struggling the most, individuals are going to be hit, Coos County. We also have a substance use issue, and the coverage provides and supports a substance use treatment. And if we see this population losing their coverage, we risk some really devastating consequences in other ways.
All right. I have to wrap it up there, but we will be following up again. Thank you, everyone, very much for coming in. I really appreciate it. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you liked what you heard, spread the word. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts to help other listeners find us. And thanks.